Hello and welcome to another Trevor and Ben podcast. Greetings, Benjamin.
Greetings, Trevor.
How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Oh, I feel old. I feel old, Ben.
Well, I mean, you've got about, what is it, 11 years on me?
Yeah.
And I'm feeling old.
I don't know whether I'm old before my time or whether this is normal at 44 to have so many aches and pains. So I've had this back and shoulder issue for quite a few weeks now. Right. That's just recovering a little bit. And at the weekend, I was putting up a new fence in the garden. Seem to have buggered my knee now. And my wrist. Because partly the wrist hurts because, not because of that. I find putting a new fence up exciting, but not that exciting.
I didn't say a word.
So basically, for the fence paddles, I was able to get my brother, for one of the places he works at, he could get a discount. Right.
Okay.
The bad news is they won't deliver to anywhere other than his house.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, luckily, they're only a few minutes walk from my house, but it did mean having to go around and pick up the fence paddles and walk them back round to my house.
And you've not got a mate with a van who lives local or anything like that?
No. Me and my dad wandered round one 6x6 fence paddle at a time. And they're not heavy, but they were heavier than I anticipated and more awkward than I anticipated, particularly as I had this bad back and shoulder already. So I was having to use sort of one arm more than the other. And I just thought, is this what getting old is? Or am I just old before my time? Am I that unfit and old that it's all just taking its toll? And then today I've not been well, Ben. If I get through this recording without having to dash off to the toilet, you'll be lucky.
I have a mate of mine who injured himself installing his new barbecue. And I think it's not necessarily a thing of age, necessarily. I think it's more to do with the fact that it's not every day you're installing a new barbecue. It's not every day you're making six trips back and forth with, six-foot panels of fencing. So you end up using muscles that you've not used in quite some time.
40 years.
And it's just like, unless you've, started stretching and doing your warm-ups before you do these activities, you suddenly do them, feel fine at the time, and then you just think, oh my God, the next day I can't move.
Well, that was it. It was the next day. I just thought, oh, you know, and then I'm intrigued by installing a barbecue, that phrase.
I don't think installing's the right word. He basically had, he got it and he had to put it together.
Oh, right.
So, but it was quite a big boy barbecue. So right. It looks lovely though. I'm very jealous. My one's rusting and falling apart. I'm going to have a funeral for it, I think.
A funeral for your barbecue?
Oh, it's terrible. I've been trying to clean it. I've been buying vinegar and Mr. Muscle. Oh, I'm onto a loser with this one. Wow.
Surely there must be some hack online. There's always cleaning hacks online. Whenever I'm on Facebook these days, someone's got some cleaning hack.
Well, yeah, I mean, distilled
bicarbonate
vinegar.
Bicarbonate of soda, they always use that, don't they?
I've read distilled vinegar is very good. So I've been basically buying every bottle of distilled vinegar Sainsbury's can sell. I've looked a bit odd today coming out of Sainsbury's with armfuls of distilled vinegar and nothing else. But
it's worth a go.
I'll give it a try.
I like the idea that you bought all of it without trying one bottle first, just to see if it works. You've bought a whole load. Because if it doesn't work, you've got all this distilled vinegar. What else can that be used in cooking?
I wouldn't have thought after I've tried it on dirty metal it should go on my chips, but you never know. Waste not, want not, eh?
No, but what I'm saying is if you use one bottle of it on the barbecue and it's not doing anything to clean it, then you've got all these other bottles. How many bottles did you buy?
I bought five bottles.
And then you're going to have four bottles. It'd be nowhere near the barbecue.
No, because I'm not spraying it onto the barbecue. What I'm doing is I'm having to submerge great metal grills and removable plates and things into a basin of distilled vinegar, but I need enough to submerge it and cover it. So, and the bottles aren't that big, so I've had to buy a lot of them. It's a real first world problem if ever I've had one.
And the worst thing is that you are going to smell like vinegar for a long time.
Oh, it's going to pong.
Are you using gloves when you're submerging the bits? Are your hands entering the bowl of distilled vinegar with the grill, or are you wearing gloves?
I haven't done it yet, but that is a very good point. And I don't know if there's been particularly high UV in the last week or two, but I normally just go straight to tanned, lovely, gorgeous brown. But
right.
I've come out in all sorts of heat rashes and bumps and things. So I've got lots of open sores on my hands and my arms at the moment. So
you don't want to be dipping those in vinegar, mate.
Absolutely not. That'll be agony. So that's a very good heads up. I will protect my hands and arms as much as I can. But again, I just think it's a different thing about just getting slightly older and slightly more feeble that now the sun is causing the injuries as well. I mean, you always like to have a good laugh at me when I'm injured because I've left the window open and gone to sleep.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the wind and the sun now.
You're basically weather. You can't be anywhere near any sort of weather, even if it's the most calm, serene, sunny weather. I understand you being damaged by a strong wind or even a thunderstorm. That can be fatal, of course.
Well, I might drown somehow. And also, having had quite a severe attack of alopecia over the last year, I've
Have you
never
tried putting the vinegar on your head. See if that
my head, the top
growth.
Of my head, man, it's boiling, and you retain the heat. Oh, I just come home and I put shorts and a t-shirt on and just sort of cook and just sort of try and cool down on the sofa a bit. It's nightmarish.
You're not still wearing a hat, though, are you?
No, the hat has come off.
The hat's come off, because last time I saw you, I'm sure you were still wearing a woolly hat. It wasn't that cold. It's like the hat had become a part of you.
Yeah, no, it's. I'm getting a bit sunburned on the dome now, so it's not good, look.
What about a handkerchief? You know, a knotted handkerchief, that good old-fashioned Englishman abroad look.
Yeah, 80 years old, on the beach in a suit with a handkerchief on your head. Yeah, great look.
Well, why don't you start wearing one of those? I'm just imagining now the image that is now being projected of you, a man with a handkerchief on his head, stinking of vinegar. I mean, you turned into like the local weirdo. They can smell you coming a mile off. So there was always a kid at school that stunk of vinegar, wasn't there?
There was, yeah.
Or TCP. Like, there was always a kid that stunk of TCP.
Well, because my workplace and my job, people are prone to injuries and muscle pulls and things like that. There's always a whiff of TCP going through the depot.
The TCP is a weird smell, isn't it? Because to start with, it's quite a, I don't know, there's sort of a nice, it's got a nice smell initially. So, yeah, oh, TCP. And then that turns very quickly into, oh, God, it's TCP.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe me, but I've just reached over to my right-hand side.
Have you got some TCP?
I've got a bottle of Deep Heat in my hand right now. It's postman problems, mate, I tell you.
No, is it Deep Heat or Deep Freeze?
Deep Heat.
Deep Heat. I got a tube of that Deep Freeze that you put on where you got pains and stuff. And that does work quite well.
Does it? I might have to try that then.
God, this has turned into like some old man medical podcast.
I know. And I'm not that old.
I tell you what, I've got a great one for you. If you try the old Ibuleve. Oh, yeah, you try the old Ibuleve. Get the extra strong one. Oh, that'll do you. That'll do you,
but son. We're not even that old. We've got a combined age of 78. We shouldn't be this beaten up.
Well, that's a combined, though. We're 78. It's a combined ailments that I mean, I'm waiting for the organs to start packing up. That's the next bit. But I'll be, like, next week, I'll be going, so I've been trying to work out how you get the bladder to last a little bit longer before it needs emptying.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling very well at the moment, but I wish you a speedy recovery, my friend.
Well, thank you. I mean, what I'm trying to think now is the best thing to do, whether I invest in a ticket to Dignitas or just invest in the funeral now. Because the funerals, do you see these adverts on the telly now? So they're trying to encourage you to sort your funeral out now. And now they've got this one where you go, don't have a funeral. Your family don't want to be, they don't want anything. Just be cremated. Just be burned and then they can have a party. That's basically what the advert is. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one. My all-time favourite one. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself and I've told you this before on the podcast, but my all-time favourite one is Alan Titchmarsh.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, I used to dig up the daisies, but soon I'll be pushing them up.
I saw that script. Did you look at that and go, no, that's a great line. I really like that line. Because if I've got that line, I'm going, I'm not saying that. It's a ludicrous line.
I must apologise. I think I've just broken our no swearing rule on the podcast.
Oh, well, fuck it.
We've been doing so well for so long. Oh, no. And Michael Parkinson used to advertise death with a free pen, didn't he?
Well, that was the life insurance, though, wasn't it? I mean, that was more the death benefiting the people you're leaving behind. Yeah. There's been a real push on this, sort your funeral out, get it all done. Because, I mean, it's not cheap to die. Like, a funeral is about, a basic's about $4,000.
Mm. And the thing is, though, I do know this little bit of information, is if you do yourself a favour, and I know it's a macabre way to spend money, and it's really a depressing way to spend money, but book your funeral now. Mm. Start paying it off now, because if you buy it now, then...
Save later!
Exactly! I mean, you won't save later, but your inheritors will. Basically, once you've bought it, the price can't go up. So, unlike my brand new kitchen, which apparently, if you buy it in January, by the time he comes to install it in April, it has gone up somehow.
You've not let that go, have you?
Enough on that. And that's another story for another day, bastard. But I'm so sort of riddled with health anxiety now that the slightest twinge or ache, I'll start going online trying to buy myself a coffin. You know,
building your own.
I've had my time. That's it.
There's also another advert. I think it's for life insurance, where it's like they're like in an allotment or something, and a woman sort of comes along. And he says, "Oh, hello, Mary. How are you?" And she goes, "Oh, not great. I've just come back from a funeral." And, you know, my first thought is the clothes you're wearing aren't funeral clothes. The disrespect you've shown that person who's passed on is outrageous. No, definitely not mourner's clothing.
Would you be one of those people who asks people to wear brightly coloured clothes to their funeral?
Oh, God, no. No, I want it all really dark.
Do you?
Yeah, dark and miserable. I want the lights out at the chapel. I don't want any lights. I want slow music, like the slowest music. Because the thing about a funeral now also, depending on where you have it, like if you have it in the crematorium, my local crematorium, where I've had sort of, you know, all my family's ones have been there, it is literally like a factory. You know, you get a certain amount of time. So there's no real time to do anything special. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when I had to do my little eulogy bit at my gran's funeral. I mean, they said to me, "You've got 90 seconds. That's what you've got." And when I turned up, the vicar came over to me, and she was lovely, but she saw you're doing a bit of speech, aren't you? And I said, yes. She went, she didn't go, "Oh, that's lovely. I hope, you know, it really touches the people that are here." This was during lockdown, so there was only a few of us. So, you know, rather than say, "Oh, you know, I really hope it can bring comfort to those that can't be here, maybe, who can read it later." She went, "I mean, how long is it?"
Wow.
Like, man alive, all right.
I mean, that's rude. It isn't the rudest thing I've seen done at a funeral. One of my family members passed away, and we were in the middle of the funeral service.
Oh, wow.
The vicar, the priest, whoever he was, leaned over his lectern, interrupted the service. He was in the middle of a sort of Bible passage or something.
Yeah.
Stopped, leaned over the lectern, and said to my mum, in the middle of the service, "Did we pay for 30 minutes or 45?
Oh, wow.
I just couldn't believe it. It was the most astonishing thing I've ever seen.
What I'd have done is get to 30 and then hold up. You're like extra time in football. Hold up and let him know that you've got 15 more minutes if he starts trying to wrap it up. We once had to go this has turned into quite a macabre podcast.
But we once I think that's your fault, to be fair.
It was my fault, but then I have got a death complex at the moment, so you can't blame me. So we went to put the ashes in the ground of a relative, right? So we all turn up at the cemetery, and I think it was her mother's grave she wanted to be next to. So we all, you know, it's not an easy day, right?
No, of course
so
not.
We're all standing around the hole in the ground, and it's only a little hole because it's only a little box. It's just the ashes, right? But this was a few months after the person had died. We'd had the funeral. It might have even been a year since. But rather than the bloke who's there to kind of oversee the little ceremony, rather than him being very accommodating to the emotions of the day, he went, "Well, I mean, we've all had the funeral, haven't we? So today's a very quick thing. You might want to say a couple of words." And then it was the same thing. He went, "And have you all paid? Has it all been paid?" So there we are around the graveside, and my dad is on his mobile phone trying to work out whether the payment's gone through.
Gee whiz.
He's like, "Come on, mate. It's ridiculous."
You'd have thought, I'll let them have their moment, and then I might politely inquire, afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've always wondered, it must be a bit of a nightmare with funeral directors, the etiquette of knowing when to send the bill.
Mm.
Because you can't exactly hand it to the family on the way out of the chapel, can you?
No, no. So you were asking me whether I'd have people wearing bright shirts. I mean, I don't mind what you wear. Wear what you like.
Well, I thought you wanted it to be a miserable affair. I was going to offer to come in a veil.
Oh, please do. Please, please come in a veil. Wear what you want. I mean, I'm thinking of like this thing about just be cremated, right? What I think I might do is that you don't have a funeral service, but you and this is works out a little bit cheaper as well, by the way, my idea, but I think it's a lovely idea. I might have told you this before. So you go and get cremated, right? There's no family, you don't have a funeral as such at that stage, but then your ashes go up in a to the edge of space in a weather balloon, and that's like the ceremony. People come to that, and then the balloon goes up, and then your ashes are released into the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
And then you'll eventually come back as you'll fall as in the rain. So I think that's quite a nice idea. I mean, the other thing is like you can be made into fireworks, can't you?
Like, I've seen that done before. That's
Yeah,
I mean, literally going out with a bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can be made into diamonds, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, I think you can. I think we've had this conversation before about what you'd like to do with your ashes.
Yeah, I think we have, because I'm sure I remember us having a conversation about you can be turned into a vinyl record.
Yeah.
And the song that you would want pressed on that particular record.
And I'm sure there's some... I think it was on like one of these shows, like Would I Lie to You? But it turned out, I think, to be true that Mick Jagger, for like 20 million quid, has agreed to sell his ashes to be used in like egg timers or something.
You know, is that true?
I think it is true.
Is it? Are you
I
sure?
think so. Well, I'm happy to be proved wrong, but I think it's true. Mick I think Jagger. I saw it on Would I Lie to You?
What a weird thing. He doesn't need... Would people, I suppose people would want it though, wouldn't they?
Well, it's of no interest to him, is it? No, I mean, he'll be dead and gone, and he can leave his family another 20 million quid or whatever it was. I'd do it. Sod it. It's no different to me. I'm not going to get any deader. Sod it.
Right, I'm just looking up here, see what this says. Now the story is that Mick Jagger has been asked by a company if they can sell his ashes in collectible egg timers when he dies. That was true.
But good, so I remember the story.
Agrees to it. It just says that he was asked about it.
I mean, you always have to spoil a good story, don't you?
What pop star's ashes in an egg timer would you... What star? Not necessarily a music star. If you had the option, if you could have any... stars, ashes, and egg timer when they go, whose would you have?
I think maybe Boris Johnson, so that he could finally be put to a useful purpose. Trev, I wanted to check with you. I know you've had your run-ins in the past, but with your local dump or your local tip, do you find the people
who
work...
Do they take bodies when you...
Do you find them to be quite... I don't know what the word is,
officious.
Really.
Like,
officious, there's the word.
Little Hitlers.
Yes, yes. I was considering saying Nazis.
Rubbish Nazis.
they swan about like they own the place.
Mm.
And they've ripped through my stuff. And said, well,
let's make it very clear that you've not done any of the sorting for recycling before you've got there.
No, but then again, if I throw things away in my bin that they collect from the house,
yes,
they don't go ripping through that and judging. So what's the difference? If I take a bag to the dump and it goes in household waste, which is the same as my regular bin goes household waste, why is it they'll search through it at the dump, but at my house they won't do it?
Well, because they are like the Gestapo.
This is a side
recycling Gestapo.
This is a side rant, but I thought I was because I've basically been doing a lot of clearing
right
from my house. I took some stuff to the dump, and I thought, well, I know how the dump, I know the layout, I know how it works.
Yeah,
I know where everything goes. So I took about 30 plant pots.
Let me just ask you this before we move on. Sorry to interrupt, but
that's
let
okay.
me. I just want to get all the process into my mind to see whether your tip is very much like mine. So, when you arrive at the tip, do you have to prove that you are a resident of the area that allows people to visit that tip?
We'll get on to that as well. But, right. The answer is yes.
Okay.
So I took about 30 plant pots.
Right.
Plastic ones. And I also took big, heavy, not porcelain. What's the word?
Terracotta.
Terracotta. That's the word. Big pots like that as well. Yeah. And I knew they didn't go in the same place as the plastic pots. Now,
well, plastic, I'm imagining that's going in the soft plastic container. Well, terracotta, that's going in rubble.
Terracotta did go in rubble and hardcore. You're correct there.
I know now, my dump.
Would you be right in thinking a plastic plant pot ticks the description of plastic container?
Yes. Yes.
So did I.
It is a plastic container.
I was wrong, apparently. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't be putting those in there. They need to go up the top, round the other side, and household waste. I thought, well, it's a plastic pot which contains things. I would have thought that ticked the box for plastic container.
I thought so, yeah.
Right you are, hair dump. I'll take it round to the other side. And then I got to the other side and they got a bit for metal. And I had some metal sort of decorative ornaments that I was getting rid of from the previous owners.
Right.
So I start walking towards the metal bit.
Yeah.
Said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, what? He said, is that metal? I said, yes. He said, is it steel? I said, I don't know. And he came and said, oh, yeah, it's steel. You can't be putting steel in the metal bit.
Oh, that can't go in the metal.
Now, steel is metal, right?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
I felt that was a fairly innocent mistake, but once again, I was chastised by
the
little
Hitlers.
So where does that go? That goes in its own separate box.
How are you supposed to know what steel... Like, you know, you're not a metallurgist, if that's such a thing.
I don't know, but they had a special room to take the steel into.
A special room for steel?
But anyway, before we get into this mess, I have to, as you say, arrive at the dump.
Yeah.
Now, I've been clearing out a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
A load of rubbish. So I've been making multiple trips. They know me. I know them. I recognise them. They recognise me.
Yeah.
And at this point, I've been there so frequently, I know the guy at the gate. And I know he knows me.
Right. So you're on talking terms. You're on nodding terms, at least.
He's seen me so frequently that he knows who I am.
Is he on like a tower with a searchlight?
He knows I'm a resident of West Sussex. I'm allowed in here. He knows this. And I just pull up, and out of politeness, because of the whole plant pot steel debacle, I decide to ask. I've got some, I think it was a fridge freezer or a washing machine. I said, can I get rid of that here? And if so, where? Because it's quite large.
What are you trying to put in?
A dishwasher, it was.
Oh, no, 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 no.
And he said, yes, you can. Small electrical appliances.
Oh.
So I've gone through this process of the sort of, I know you know me.
Yeah, yeah.
I know who you are. We know each other. We're cool, right? So I didn't bother producing my ID because I've been there so many times, so frequently recently, talking to the same bloke. And he said, oh, yeah, just small electrical items around the corner. He said, but next time, have your ID ready, eh?
Come on, mate, play
have
the game.
Have it ready, will
have
you,
it
eh?
Ready?
Hey?
Come on, mate, you know the score.
Oh, and so being very British and polite, I apologise. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I reached into my pocket and I go, would you like to, I've got it here. I do have it with me. Would you like to see it? And he went, listen to this. No, I know who you are.
Right.
So why the
Got
a headbutt
at
him.
Oh, I know who you are. Oh, you're the steel and plastic plant pot merchant.
So you know who I am. I know who you are.
Yeah.
You know I'm a resident.
Yeah,
you know I'm allowed to be here. And yet you still want to see my ID for completely superfluous reasons.
Got to the job, mate. Got to the job, haven't they?
No.
You know, they can't be letting anyone in. So what if someone had got plastic surgery just to look like you, and they come from a different district to get rid of their dishwasher? You know, they need something with your picture on and a name and address, presumably.
It was so annoying to me that. There was one more thing that really tipped me over the edge. I've been having to get rid of some, like I say, we're doing a bit of redecorating in the house, which is why all this lumpy stuff is having to be lugged to the dump.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been out physically taking apart two-seater sofas.
Right.
That's a lot of effort, by the way.
I know, I've done it. It's a lot, but quite therapeutic.
Quite satisfying. So obviously I can only fit one sofa. I've still got the breakfast show Peugeot, by the way, the Peugeot 207. I've still got that.
Perhaps they're assuming you're going to dump that. when you arrive.
So basically, I can only fit one sofa in at one time. So I go down there the first time with sofa number one.
Yeah.
Come back home, sofa number two, cram that into the back of the car, drive off to the dump. There goes sofa number two. Come back, final trip of the day, a king-size mattress.
Right.
And then they said, Owen, how many times have you been here today?
Ooh,
and
I said, limit.
I said, this will be number three. Yeah, two sofas and a mattress. This will be number three.
Ooh, they've and I said, oh. Dumping on an industrial scale, mate.
He said, well, you have to fill in the form now.
Oh, you got
to
fill in the form.
And I said, I'm sorry.
Your shit now.
I said, I'm sorry. I need to fill in a form. And he said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go and tell the guy around the other side. So I drove around the corner.
Yeah.
And I said to, and he by the way, he in the time I'm driving around the corner, he'd radioed his little mate on his walkie-talkie to warn him that I need the form.
Yeah.
So basically I said, I've just been informed that I need to sign some sort of form because this is my third trip today. And he said, oh, yeah, I know all about you.
Oh, yeah, we know all about you, mate.
I thought, oh, for God's sake, what now? And I just said to him, can I just ask what this form is and what I'm signing my name to and declaring?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, sure. I mean, he said, you can come back if you still need to, but anyone who comes to the dump three times in a day, we need you to get to sign this form, which basically is you swearing and declaring that you are not a business. You could be a removal business and you could be
with a Peugeot.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I thought you fucking muppet. Yeah, I've gone into the removal business with the worst business plan in the world. I will remove one item at a time in a Peugeot 207. That's my business model, you bloody idiots. So I signed the little form and you know what, just to spite them, I was quite knackered by this point.
Yeah,
I went home and loaded up the car again.
Of course.
And I didn't wave my ID at him when I came back. I just waved the little form. I was furious.
I always come back from the tip furious. I always come back. It's got a little bit better these days because now there was a time when you had to show your ID, you had to take a bill. But now we've got a little sticker that is permanently on my car that says that I'm a resident of Croydon, so I'm allowed into the dump. So you get the man, you get the security man at the front, and he will check that your sticker's intact. You think, well, this is good. It's really going to speed the process up. They're just going to wave you through. It's going to be really quick. But no, he stops you, and already I'm furious that he stopped me rather than just waving me through, because I'm pointing at the sticker. I'm really pointing quite aggressively at the sticker. And then he stops me. He goes, may I ask what you're bringing to the dump today? It's like, doing rubbish.
For God's sake.
Rubbish. And he went, no, I mean, what kind of rubbish are you bringing? And I said, well, it's mainly wood, some metal probably, some papers. And he went, oh, that's fine. It's like, why does it matter? What you can see anyway, it's all in the back of the car. You can have a look if you want, but just get me, wave me through again. You know,
Do you think maybe they get fined if things end up in the wrong places?
Oh,
because
I don't know.
The first run-in I had.
Oh, the ferocity at which they come at you as well if they see you've got something going in the wrong skip.
Well, this was the strange thing to me.
Like, oh,
I know, I've had it myself with the plant pots.
No.
Oh, it's a nightmare, but. I just thought, the first time I had this recycling problem, he aggressively said, whoa, stop there. He took the bin liner full of crap off me.
Yeah.
He ripped into it, starts rummaging through it like some sort of raccoon.
Demented womble.
And then he says, oh, see, there's all sorts of things in here that should go in the plastic recycling. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And he said, oh, well, you really should take that round. And I said, okay, would you like me to take it round? And then, in one fell swoop, he throws the entire bag into household waste and says, well, you'll know for next time, won't you?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, hang on a minute. What are the rules then? Is it all right or not all right? Because you've just done that.
And do you find yourself sometimes, if you're not sure about where something goes, because they always seem to have someone on guard at the sort of landfill waste area, like the other bits, they got a few people who watch from a distance and then they shout at you if they think you're putting the wrong thing in. But around the kind of landfill bit, there's always a guard, there's always one there. And sometimes you kind of wait till they're a bit busy, while they're faffing about with someone else, they're going through their shit. And I think, well, I've got a bit of old carpet here. It doesn't seem to be anywhere specifically for carpet. I'm assuming it's going to go in the landfill bit, but I don't want to have the whole, oi, 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 oi. So I wait until they're really sort of take their time's being taken up by someone else, and I sort of surreptitiously get in there and just chuck it in. And that feels like a really small but hollow victory.
I've started doing things like that as well, Mel, because I've become so annoyed with them that it's become a game for me to try and smuggle things past them. So I'll take a big blanket, which might go in household waste, and I'll wrap other shit around it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, wrap the blanket around it so it's sort of disguising it, and then I can throw it all in at once. But the thing is, if you get rumbled doing that, then they're really onto you.
Oh, they're fools. You'll have to fill in then.
Why are they so obsessive?
I don't know.
Like it's their dump. They just work at it. Why do they care so much?
Well, I mean, credit to people for caring about their job, I suppose, but chill out. I mean, I always come away just thinking, what is wrong with you people? Just chill out a little bit.
It's just such an aggressive experience.
I'm going round to the, you know, I've got woods to go in there. I've got metal to go in there, plastic, the, you know, bits. And when I had to take some rubble once, you know, bits, just some rubble, I'd broken up a wall, and they were like, you know, it was almost like they were saying, well, I mean, how much rubble have you got? And I went, well, you know, we've broken up a wall. There's a fair bit. And, oh, I don't know, we might not be able to take all of that today. The rubble skips were almost full. I was like, well, it's not my problem, is it? Get another one. Sort it out. And they had someone on guard there, like watching me, because I'm trying to, like, I'm literally sort of packing stuff in around all the other rubble in the skip.
Yeah.
And he's like watching me like a hawk. He's going, have you got any more then? No, yeah, I've got one more sort of box full of stuff to go. Well, we'll see, shall we? So, no, we won't see. There's room. I can see there's room. It can go in. I'm not taking it home again.
Well, let's leave it next to the skip. So when the new skip comes in, we can put it straight in. How about that for an idea?
At your skip, people do leave things next to the skip if they think someone else might want it.
I haven't seen that. I don't think that they're so organised. I don't think they like things just being left around.
I'm not saying big things. I'm just saying, because I once picked up an ornament years ago at the dump. There was a lovely little ornament to go next to a pond. Very nice condition. And gave that to my grandparents. They very much liked it.
Oh, that's very nice. I mean, I did have to get rid of, like I say, a lot of old garden ornaments, one of which was quite a heavy stone Buddha.
Again, rubble. It's got to go in rubble.
Well, the guy at the dump, one of the nicer guys at the dump, offered to help me out and take it out of the boot and throw it in the rubble for me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm really quite glad you're doing that, because I don't know if throwing Buddha in the rubble is considered bad luck. So I'm glad you're the one doing it, not me.
I think, I don't know with Buddha, whether there's any comeback. You know, other religious figures, there might be comeback. But I don't know about Buddha. I think Buddha wouldn't...
Quite peaceful, I think, from what I know.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be an issue throwing
quite
Buddha
forgiving
in. Did you get there? Was there a nice satisfactory... Like when you threw it in a skip, it's always quite nice when the thing smashes to bits, isn't it?
I had a blast with those terracotta plant pots.
Yeah.
I was quite, as you can tell, I don't know if it's come across in this podcast, but I was quite worked up by this point. So the satisfaction of smashing shit to bits really ticked the box for me that day. Speaking of religion, mm-hmm. You know the little place I live is East Grinstead.
Yes, by the Scientologists.
Well, there's more than just the Scientologists.
It's the Mormons. Are they near you?
We've got the Jesus Latter-day Saints people.
That's the Mormons.
That's the Mormons. Yeah. So we've got a big temple for the Mormons.
Yeah.
We've got the national headquarters for the Scientologists.
Yes, yeah.
And we've got Jehovah's Witnesses on the high street.
Well, you're right in the centre of the religious...
I'm in the middle of the religious triangle.
East Grinstead is very much the Jerusalem of the UK.
Now, I'm not saying necessarily because it's religious people, but East Grinstead has been recognised as one of the, how do I say this politely, slightly more peculiar, peculiarly populated places in England.
Really? I have been there. I'm not surprised.
Yes, there is a lot of odd individuals. And I don't know.
Come higher or lower in higher or lower in the list of places of peculiar people? Because I've got to say, I think Croydon must be higher on that list than East Grinstead. Sure.
Do you think so?
Where I live is full of nutters, mate. You can't move for nutters.
But that's just your bog standard nutter. We've got specialised nutters here.
You've got especially like niche nutters.
And also, you know, a fair few of, you know, just your bog standard nutters. And by the way, I include myself. I'm a bit of an oddball myself, so that's fine. But one of the things I thought, although we've got a lot of our oddballs, that there must be things to celebrate about this little place I live. There must be some good news. And I was going past, I never stopped, I must have walked past this newsagent's hundreds of times, and I'd never stopped to look at it.
Right.
But this newsagent has got pictures all over the windows of the East Grinstead Courier, which is a little newspaper.
A little local newspaper.
And it fits. It's a news agency. It's got all the newspaper headlines all over it. News that's happened in East Grinstead.
Yeah.
Now, am I stupid to think that if you're proud of your place, even if it's a bit odd, surely the newspaper headlines you'd want to recreate and plaster all over your shop should try and celebrate the area a bit?
Good news stories over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know, are these dating back a long time, or are they just, I mean, is he just putting up the front pages of every edition like in the year and then he replaces those?
I'm just having a quick look now because I wasn't expecting that question, but the news stories I'm checking here all seem to be from 2014, must have been quite the year in East Grinstead.
Right. So, okay, well, he's obviously just sort of chronicling the history of the area, the good and the bad, by the sounds of it.
Well, I mean, I believe the Olympic torch once passed through East Grinstead, believe it or not.
Lovely thing.
That might have been a nice celebratory newspaper headline to adorn on your newsagent's shop. But I'll just read you some of the headlines. the big stories that he's chosen really, promote
to showcase,
the place.
Yeah. Showcase East Grinstead.
I've got three of them for you.
Go on.
First one, immigration raid on supermarket.
Wow, okay.
I mean, not exactly a positive story.
Yeah, I mean, what worries me is this the sort of people that are in East Grinstead, the kind of anti-immigration mob?
the next big, mock front page newspaper thing he's put on of a classic story from 2004 East Grinstead Courier.
Yeah.
TV yobs, drunken attack on police.
Well, no, I'm interested though.
What a lovely yob. Place to live.
Like, when you say TV yob, which TV yob?
Young star of reality show threw punches at officers.
Right.
A young East Grinstead man who sparked outrage with his laddish behaviour on a BBC reality TV show threw punches at police officers as they tried to arrest him, just weeks after vowing on national television to turn his life around.
So we don't know who he is. We don't know what reality TV show he was on.
Josh White of Maple Drive appeared on Sun, Sex and Suspicious Parents. What a show. Sun, Sex and Suspicious Parents.
I'm sure I remember seeing a couple of episodes of that.
I've never heard of that.
Well, I think what happened was it was when young people would go on holiday together.
There's the sun, yep.
There's the sun. They'd obviously probably look for a bit of old nookie. While
have some
holiday.
Sex, yep.
And, but I'm sure the twist of the show was that their parents would be in the same hotel or in another hotel watching their children's behaviour on camera. And that's the suspicious parents bit. Dreadful show. I mean, it obviously didn't last very long.
No, I can't imagine that did. I mean, it sounds quite niche, that. I mean, ticking all those boxes.
I don't think that show would have put... Josh was his name?
Yes, yes.
I don't want to get sued by Josh. I'm sure he's turned into a lovely young man now. This sounds a long time ago. That programme wouldn't have put him in the spotlight like being on Love Island or something. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like the thing that catapulted into huge fame, but in East Grinstead, he's a local celeb.
And another headline here that this news agents think really sells how much they love East Grinstead and what a lovely place it is to be.
Yeah.
Big picture headline. The police were right to continue fatal chase.
Right. Cheerful tale.
Yeah, and then a big image underneath that of Peter Andre holding up a coffee mug, because he famously opened and then closed a coffee shop in East Grinstead.
Opened and closed it?
Yes, it went under extremely quickly.
What, they got him back to close it?
Well, that doesn't happen
very often, does it? Like, I declare this coffee shop open, and then 3 weeks later, I now declare this coffee shop closed.
I think he was
desperate for work. If he's turning up to opening and closings.
I don't think he turned up to close it. I don't believe he had to, like, maybe he had to get the two bits of ribbon he cut in half for opening and tie it back up. I did know someone who, this is all hearsay, but who was claiming to want to rent the property that his coffee shop used to be on, but the rent was, in his opinion, a little bit high, possibly... maybe still owned by Mr. Andre. But that's
his coffee shop.
Yeah.
He didn't tell, he wasn't like the celeb brought in to open it. It was his own coffee shop.
Oh, no. He was here for a while.
Tell me it was called Flavour.
What an opportunity missed if it wasn't.
Now, just before we wrap up this week, Ben, do you remember last week we ended up having a conversation about the amount of money that you would feel it was acceptable to keep if you found it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said that I would be quite, even a small amount, I'd feel a little bit uneasy about.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a moral dilemma this week that made me think, how would I react with this? So if I find a bit of money out on the street, and I think I said anything over about 20, I'd start to feel guilty about.
Yeah.
How I'd feel about this. So there was a safe for sale on eBay.
Okay.
So the guy was selling this heavy-duty safe as he didn't have the combination to open it.
Okay.
The guy bought it, took it home, managed to get it open.
Nice. How exciting.
Inside was $26,000, about 20,000 quid. The man who sold it asked the buyer for some of that money back.
No. Sorry.
But the buyer refused, saying it was finders keepers. Now, I think that in this situation, I would agree with that because I've bought it. It's not like I've found that money. I bought the safe. You didn't open it. You didn't force it open. So you're lost, really.
Yeah. I see no moral dilemma with that. That's just tough luck. If you were too lazy to open it and I bought it from you fair and square and I've managed to open it.
Yeah.
I mean, you might want to chuck them an extra $100 maybe and just say, you know, bad luck, but maybe this will cheer you up a bit. Here's $100 out of it. But no, you definitely can't. How much did he want?
He just said some of it. I don't know.
Some of it. Oh, well, here's a dollar. There you go. There's some of it.
I saw this thing recently. This was a nice story. This father and son, they were doing that that I've done in the past, like magnet fishing.
Oh, yeah.
But they were obviously doing it on quite a large scale because they found a safe and they got the safe up, got it out of the water, opened it up, and inside there was a lot of money. I think this might have been in Australia. There was a lot of money in the safe, right? And it was all in decent condition. The water hadn't got in. It was all fine. Now, again, in that situation, you've not bought that safe. So what would you do with a lot of money that was found in a safe that you pulled out of the water?
I think if it's been pulled out of the water,
yeah,
then that's fine. That's yours.
Right, okay. Well, this father and son, what they did was they somehow looked into it. I can't remember the details of how they looked into it, but they discovered that this safe had been stolen from a business several years before. And obviously the robbers couldn't open it, so just dumped it. And then they returned the money to the business owner.
Well, I mean, that's admirable, but bloody stupid, because I imagine that the business probably put in an insurance claim and were heavily compensated for their theft.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell a soul. They're obviously better people than I am, but would you tell anyone about that? I wouldn't want to know if I, because I wouldn't want it on my conscience that, oh, I know it was that business that got robbed.
Yeah,
it's theirs. I just wouldn't ask any questions. I just think, great.
But if you found that, if you pulled a safe from the water, surely there'd be a question of, it's like, how is there a safe full of money in the water? Surely this has been robbed from somewhere.
Don't think about it too much. That's again, the key.
Again, this is where my guilt would come in, because I think I'd have to tell the police.
All right. But okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If it was a safe that belonged to Steve's garage from down the road, you know, a small struggling business, and that had happened to them, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you found out that it was from Jeff Bezos. You know exactly where I was going with that, didn't you? Jeff Bezos, Amazon workshop or warehouse, factory, whatever. I bet you'd be less inclined to give a shit about that.
Oh, yeah, no, I think if it was Jeff Bezos's money, then he's got plenty, isn't he? I don't think he'd worry about a few quid. But what'd be interesting is if you found the safe in the water, you've dragged it out, you've taken the money, what are you doing with the safe, mate? Because good luck getting rid of that at your tip. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Very good news. I managed to get through the recording without having to run to the toilet, Ben. So maybe things are improving.
Excellent. I'm glad you're on the mend.
That Imodium's working wonders, I can say. Before we go, a couple of recommendations for you. I've been watching some very interesting documentaries this week, Ben.
Oh, yeah?
On Sky, there's a 3-part documentary about Mother Teresa.
How you spend your time, honestly.
No, it's fascinating. It's a fascinating story of how she came to be the woman we all revered. And then there's sides of it which maybe weren't so great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's
the dark side of Mother Teresa. You know,
it's sort of a very interesting look at the two sides of the story at times. And I just think from a historical standpoint, it was very interesting.
Fine. I won't be watching it. Good luck.
Okay. There's also been a great documentary again on Sky about Stephen Hawking. I think it's called Stephen Hawking, Can You Hear Me? It's his family, for the first time really, talking about him and his life.
I would love to have some recommendations, but I've
just given you two.
Well, no, I meant of my own, but I've been obsessing over the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Oh, right, yeah.
And by the way, I have had to tear myself away from it tonight to record this podcast, which is a great compliment as to how much I enjoy doing this podcast,
right,
because
yeah.
I'm not just missing some back and forth court stuff. I'm missing, as we speak, Amber Heard's cross-examination. This is the gold, and I'm missing it to do this.
You must be recording it. Surely it's on live pause right now.
Well, it's being live streamed on YouTube. So I have asked Mrs. Ben to pause it for me.
Yeah.
And sit tight while I record. But I've got this horrible anxiety that it's going to somehow lose its place, or YouTube's going to do something weird, and then we're going to lose an hour's worth of court.
A moment of gold. I was talking to a friend at the weekend who's been engrossed by it, and he said that the only thing that would improve it as a spectacle is sound effects every now and again. He went, there wouldn't be a miss to have like a little trombone noise in there, or like just lots of different sound effects. He said it's that sort of show that it would take it.
It is, but I think that might be considered contempt of court to start introducing sound effects.
The final thing I want to mention.
Yes.
I rediscovered a TV show that from my childhood. Now, this is on Great TV, which is on Sky somewhere. I don't know what else it's on.
Never, ever heard of that channel.
Right? And this is on about... This is basically one night when I couldn't sleep. The insomnia was working its magic, and I was just sitting at the telly. And about 5 o'clock, I'm just flicking through the TV, and I noticed a show from my childhood called Highway to Heaven. Now, do you remember... You're probably way too young.
No, I've not heard of that.
Because I think it ran from about 88 to 91, so you'd have only been 2 or 3 by the time it finished. But it's basically, I mean, it's the most cheesy, ridiculous show in the world. So it's this guy who's an angel, Michael Langdon, who wrote and directed a lot of them, famous from Little House on the Prairie. Michael Langdon plays an angel who's given assignments to help people in need, and he's accompanied by an ex-policeman who's his best friend. And
this sounds terrible.
And each episode they have to go, they're sent on an assignment, it might be to help a married couple who are having trouble in their marriage, or a mother and a daughter whose relationship has broken down. But it's, I just thought, I've got to watch this, because I remember that loving this as a kid. And as I say, it's incredible. Some of the acting is appalling in it, and it's the most schmaltzy nonsense you're ever going to see, but I'm really enjoying it.
So it's a police officer teaming up with an angel.
An ex-police officer.
Oh, that makes it much better.
No, it's well worth a watch. Anyone who's my age will remember that show, and you'll either remember it as dreadful, or you remember it as good. And I do think it's one of those you can revisit. Like, unlike Manimal, when you revisit that, you think, oh God, this is absolute shit. Highway to Heaven, I haven't had that experience yet. I've gone, oh, this is a... Yeah, I'm enjoying this. It makes you feel good. It's a feel-good thing.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. If that doesn't send you to sleep, nothing will.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Rach Evan Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.